Chapter 12, What the Fire Reveals. Sar dropped the tail ring, and the Greeld stopped at the edge of the camp. Thag walked towards them carrying a torch. "And the guard is here, ruler," he said. "I see them," said Sard, frowning. "And I have the boy." Thag bowed deeply. "Prince Trave." "King, rather," said Sard. "King Trave," said Thag, bowing again. Trave nodded once. "Order the soldiers up. Have food prepared and take this beast away," Sard said. Thag dipped his head in the briefest salute, and Sard walked away, and Trave followed a short way back. When they sat down by the fire, but there was no talk of the rest from Sard. In fact, there was no talk at all from Sard. He opened the clamps on his iron boots and threw off his cloak. Trave could see in the wavering, dull light of the fires, soldiers scattered throughout the camp, and some were sitting up but most were sprawled about, sleeping. Thag came back and handed Trave and Sard iron plates, and the prince, sitting closer to the fire than the Sardin, saw that the meat was raw, and put his plate down. "We will send word," said Sard, tearing at his food, "to the rulers of Trudnar and Brancus, and that the king of Gondala rides with us." "Trudnar and Brancus?" said Trave. "Capital." Sard threw out the words as if he were speaking to someone stupid. "The other members of the Dark Alliance." Thag said, "When do we ride, Lord Sard?" "Now," said Sard, and Trave's heart jumped. "Before the squirrels return." "What about the king of Capnos?" Thag asked. "What about him?" Sard glared up at his underlord. "He will probably be coming after his royal highness. Let him come. If the squirrels don't get him, I will. I fear him not." Then Sard dropped his plate and sprang up. "Get those lazy men up," I said. Trave sprang up and back at the Sardins. At Sard's sudden shouting, Thag went through the camp, kicking the sleeping men with the toe of his boot. "Sard is here," he grunted in Sardin. "Get up, get up!" Now the men heard coming among the scattered fires, and the thin smoke curled up, gray and orange, until it disappeared in the matted branches overhead. The soldiers looked like black ghosts outlined in the dismal light. "This is King Trave," said Sard, and he reached an open palm towards the boy, and he spoke in Sardin now, but Trave knew what he said. The Sardin put their arms across their chests in salute, and their black boots blended in the shadows so it looked so completely that it looked to Trave as if the men rose out of the damp earth like the dense trees around them. "He is the master of Gondala and now our ally, and we will ride together toward Gondala tonight, and we will take Gondala without a battle." A murmur ran over the company, dropping the salute, and the soldiers looked at one another cautiously. Sard looked at them and tried to decide their mood. Through Litteris to the Malus Sea, and up through Sarda to Gannet, there was a stir and a shuffle, but no man spoke, and Sard glared at his men, and his eyes nearing. "Do you question me?" he demanded. Thag's voice rang out. "No, mighty Sard. Hail Sard! Hail Sard! Hail Sard!" cried the warlord, and the chant spread throughout the camp, and the shouting began to sound to Trave like the beating of a drum. And his heart banged away inside of him, and his arms and legs felt shaky from the hunger. He thought he faded back to the edge of the camp, but the chant still jarred him. It began to sound like barking. From where he stood, Trave could see Sard and Thag and several warlords before him, before the main fire, and as he watched them, it seemed to him that their faces changed, grew darker and coarser. He shook his head as if to make a harsh voice and the dismal fire disappear. Sard let the chant go on for some time, and at last he raised his hands for it to stop. It stopped instantly. "I need two messengers," he said, "to ride to Bankris and Tardenar." Two soldiers leaped forward, bowing at his feet. "Come with me," he said to them, and the three Sardans walked out towards the Greelds to speak together. The rest of the soldiers waited impatiently by their fires, and Thag stood still where he had been standing watching Sard. Treyv wanted to eat, but he could not find anyone who might be the cook, and he wandered a little, hoping to see something he might eat. Sardans spoke to one another in their snarling language and threw their arms about as they spoke. Treyv found a fire that no one stood near and laid down on a lumpy root underneath a tree to sleep, and he missed his cloak now, and he curled up against the dampness. Sard came back from speaking to his messengers. "Where's the boy?" he said to Thag. "Here somewhere," said Thag, looking about the camp. "Where?" Sard's voice was hard, and his eyes glowed red in the firelight. "What kind of fool are you to let him out of your sight? Where could he go in this forest? He wouldn't leave the fires." "Find him," Sard spat out, and Thag stared back at Sard for a few seconds, and then without word or sign, he wheeled around to search the camp for Treyv. A warlord who had been waiting for his chance came up to Sard, bowing nearly to the ground, and Sard turned fully to the man. "Yes?" His voice was peevish and rang as an annoying child's. "Congratulations on getting your prince, my lord." "Thank you," said Sard, appeased. "Your way will prove best, Master Sard, and I have believed so all along," the warlord said. "You speak as though there is some other choice." "Not for any loyal Sardan." "Certainly there can be no disloyal ones." Sard looked keenly at the man, and the soldier said nothing. Sard weighed his words. "If you were Sard," he said, and looked away into the fire, "which would you think more disloyal, a man who had treason in his heart, or one who knew of treason and did not tell of it?"